Hey guys, we're so excited to share this message with you on the Center Set podcast. My name is Ethan and I lead worship here at Center Set. We'd love for you to download our app so that you can keep up with all that is happening in our community. Text Center Set to 77977 to download.
We are in a conclusion of a 4-week series that we started called I Love My Church. Say, I love my church.
I love my church.
So what we're doing is we're going back to the couch that we started this church from. What are the values that started this church? How many of you know that when you spend your time and money on something, that means you really value it? Some of you love sushi. Some of you ladies love shopping at Nordstrom's. And the things that we spend the time and money on is really what we value. And what do we value at Center Set? And what I really want to do is I want to cast a vision for a kind of church that is different, that this valley is so hungry for. And every week for the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about these core values. And it's faith is our focus, excellence is our essence, worship is our wisdom. And last week, we talked about Jesus being our joy. And today, I want to talk to you about one of our core values. That's really the first value that I preached when we got on the couch, was that people are our priority. If you have your Bible with you today, if anyone brings a Bible, who brings a real Bible to church? We need to give you an award. No one. So bring out your flat screen device, and if you're spirit-filled, it's an iPhone. It's on the screen. We're going to read Luke chapter 5. One day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, say their faith.
Their faith.
He said, friends, your sins are forgiven. Friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins? Forgive sins, but God alone. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you to get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. In this last verse, everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Every week for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about our core values, and then I'll read a statement. Let me read our statement for why people are our priority. Our heart is for all people. Say all people.
All people.
All people are loved by Jesus. We make no apologies for being specifically focused on reaching the lost. We desire to bring the broken home at all cost. And this is my favorite. We believe our light is best seen in the night. And we want to be a church where we want to do anything short of sin to reach people who are far from God. And before we begin, let me just pray. If you can bow your heads and close your eyes. God, we just want to thank you so much for your heart. That the Bible says in Hebrews that there was joy that was set before him. And the joy was us, Jesus. Even though you were going to endure the cross, you love people, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just hear a guy in a skinny jeans speaking up, but we would hear your voice this morning. God, we want to hear your words, your revelation, Jesus. We don't just come to study you, we come to experience you, God. Would you speak through me this morning? And in Jesus' name we said,
amen.
And in Jesus' name we said,
amen.
Amen. That's right. I want to ask you a question. How many of you struggle with procrastination? Come on, we're in church, you can be honest. That's right, that's right. Wouldn't it be awesome if procrastination was a gift? Like you would go around bragging, I have the gift of procrastination, right? Some people, if you gave them a whole year to study for a test, they would still wait the night before. I had to really learn how to break through procrastination growing up. And I learned some hard lessons, and by the time I got to high school and college, I was a decent student. But in fifth grade, I was in elementary school, and Collins Elementary, right across from Apple. Grew up Silicon Valley, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days. I was in class and the teacher said, guys, before you go home, tomorrow is the science fair. And that was the first time I heard it. And maybe my teacher had been saying it for 6 months, but that was the first day it became revelation for me. But I remember walking home freaking out. Like, I haven't studied, I haven't looked up any, what am I gonna do? And thankfully, that week, I had seen Bill Nye, the science guy, you know, make a fake volcano. So I said, that's what I'm going to do. I got some baking powder in my home. I want to get some vinegar. I'm going to make a volcano. The only problem is I have 5 hours to make this thing. So most people go to a whiteboard and they print out the notes. I had a ballpoint pen on a cardboard box. Like, before ghetto fabulous was a word, I was living that lifestyle. Like, this was as ghetto as you can get. And then I didn't have time to build a mountain or a mountain with lava coming up, like with paper mache. I used Play-Doh. And then who has 5 gallons of brown Play-Doh? No one. So there was green in there, there was yellow, there was blue, there's all these different colors. And then I didn't even like really build a mountain. I just got a cup, really, and filled it with baking soda and then covered the Play-Doh around it. So this is a one-shot thing, right? Like once you pour the vinegar and you're done, you can't like remove the Play-Doh and do this again. So imagine I'm at school and everyone has their presentations and like they're killing it. And the judges come to my like ghetto fabulous cardboard box with ballpoint pen. And I poured the vinegar in, and I didn't even use food coloring. It's just white foam is coming out. I'm just taking notes, and they move on. And everyone, all my friends got an A. I got an incomplete that day. I'm like, can I bring it tomorrow, at least get a grade? And they said, no. I learned a hard lesson that sometimes, you know, projects have deadlines, and projects have expiration dates. And as valuable as that lesson is, listen, I think that sometimes that paradigm comes into the church, that we treat people as projects. That we spend time with people as long as they're on the path to accepting Jesus. And the moment that I know that you're not, I gotta spend time with someone else. Because you're a project, and there's a deadline, and you need to accept Christ. And I think that paradigm is good in school, and it's good in work, but listen, we can't have that paradigm in the church. How many of you are grateful for a God who doesn't treat you like a sales call? Who doesn't just call you wanting to know if you accept him? If you don't, he's gonna hang up the phone on you. We have a God who continually pursues, continually loves. And even when we reject him, the Bible says that the rain, which is a sign of blessing in the Bible, falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves you enough to give you a husband and a wife and kids, and you know, the greatest job that you can look for, even if he doesn't give you himself. Yeah. That's what he does when God loves his children. He doesn't treat us as projects, he treats us as children. Yeah. And I want to show you the heart of God through this story in Luke chapter 5, which really I'm going to probably preach every year for the next however long we're going as a church, because there's so much in it. And this story is going to, I hope, challenges you to really see why people are our priority. And I'm going to read this first verse that says that Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. You have to understand that in this home, it was jam-packed with people, with Pharisees and teachers of the law, which was like the upper echelon of society, and then sinners. See, in the theology in Jesus' day was that if you were paralyzed, if you were sick, it was because of something you did. So it's almost like cause and effect. You're evil, and this is why you're being punished. So they would judge you. They would criticize you. They would almost label you as a sinner, even if you were just paralyzed. And the moment that you got this label, listen, you were an outcast in society. You were ostracized. Sometimes you were even asked to move out of the city. Imagine you had an accident. And you couldn't use your legs anymore. And now you have to live outside the city. You can't even have your friends and family near you. This is the society that Jesus is in. That sinners aren't just the morally corrupt, which is sometimes what we think that the people Jesus was hanging out with. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus ate with sinners. And we think these are the prostitutes and the gang members. No, these are the sick. These are the people that are paralyzed. These are the down and out that Jesus says, you're infinitely valuable because you are made in the image of God. And I think sometimes in the church, this is how we treat people. We treat them based on the external, not on the internal. We based on the value that they bring, not the value that they possess. And apart from Jesus, I need to make this very clear. You and I are spiritually paralyzed. Yeah. Like there's no better picture of the gospel than this story. That everyone in this room is wondering why this paralyzed is even in this room. And Jesus says, I forgive your sins. See, in the world and in modern America, we have financial problems. We have marriage problems, we have relationship problems, but Jesus is forgiving this guy's sins. Because that's the real problem this man possesses. See, apart from Jesus, even though we have 2 good legs, we are spiritually paralyzed. Yeah. Jesus didn't come to make us good. He didn't come to make good people even better. He came to make dead people come alive. Yeah. That's why he came. And sometimes, listen, what I love is the way that we treat non-believers is such a perfect picture of sometimes how this man is treated. Imagine going up to a paralyzed person saying, hey, get your act together. Get up and walk. Like, you yelling at the person isn't going to change their situation. Have you ever seen a person who only speaks English speak to someone who only speaks Spanish? What do? They raise their voice. Excuse me, do you know where I can find? Thinking that their volume of their voice is going to convey something. Listen, yelling at lost people doesn't change their situation. Listen, people aren't bad. They're paralyzed. And they need hope. Instead of having judgment and condemnation, we need to have a heart of compassion towards these people. We need to come alongside them and say, I'm here for you. I love you. I'm going to serve you. And I love this story because these men carry their friend to Jesus. I wonder what would it look like if we were carrying our friends to Jesus. I wonder if you could pray this prayer. God, would you break my heart for the people in this valley? Would you break my heart for the people in my work? Would you break my heart for the people in my school? See, our problem is a perception problem. We perceive them as evil and sinful, but the problem is they're spiritually paralyzed. They can't walk. They need someone to bring them back to life. And then it continues in Luke 5:18. It says, some men were carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay before Jesus. See, what this story is describing is this: these guys, they come and they pick up this guy, and Jesus is teaching and preaching in this house. And this house is absolutely packed with people. Can I tell you something? That Jesus has been a sellout for 2,000 years. Yeah. That people have always been coming to hear him preach. And if you're new to this church and you're like, man, I used to love it when there's just 25 people and I didn't have to come early to find a seat and the parking's so hard, let me just tell you very quickly, this is as small as we're ever going to be. Our vision is to grow much bigger than this. Our vision is to go to not just one service, but two services, not just one location, multiple locations. Why? Because 95% of the people in this valley don't know Jesus. It's actually, that was my statistic from 3 years ago. The statistics are even worse today. It says 2-4% of the people in this valley don't know Jesus. It's becoming worse. So if you're one of a small church, you might find another church. This last week, illustrate this point. This last week I was getting a gift from my wife for her 5-year anniversary. Our 5-year will be on September 28th, 5 years with my beautiful bride. And what do you give someone who's already pregnant and whatever you buy isn't going to fit, right? So I know that she loves Beyonce, so I'm going to get her Beyonce tickets because Jay-Z and Beyonce are coming. That's right. I told you I was going to surprise you. It's always fun to do it on stage. But she's got this 30-city tour going from stadium to stadium. And in my heart, I said, why can't the church have that? When can one day Centerset fill stadiums with people who are singing Ooh La La for Jesus one day? Not just Beyonce. Like, I love Beyonce. I'm not a beehive thing, whatever that thing is called. Just being real. But as much as I love her, listen, she can't deliver me. She can't save me. Like, there's some of you ladies in this room. And you've been married or you've been dating your guy for a long time and you're like, when is he going to propose? Listen, as much as you love Beyonce, she's never going to show up and sing If You Want It, Put a Ring on It to your man. Right? The only one that you can go to a mended heart is Jesus. Oh, yeah. He's the only one who knows your problems. He's the only one who can save you, deliver you, provide for you. It's Jesus. And what I love about this story is that it wasn't just the sinners that came to hear Jesus. It was the religious people as well. It was the people that were the upper echelon of society, the rich and wealthy. See, when Jesus would make this call to the sinners, people thought he was just giving them fluff. People thought that maybe he was just watering down what the Bible is really saying. And it was crazy to see these crowds come and see Jesus. In the very beginning of his ministry, he would say things like, come and see. Come and see who I really am. And then by year two, he'd say, if you're my disciple, do so and so. And then by year three, he would say things like, if you're my disciple, you need to follow me to the death. It's like, whoa, 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 I just came here for free sashimi and 2 pieces of bread. Like, what's going on here? Right? Like, a couple years ago, you were saying, come and see. And now you're saying, come and go and go do this. Now you're saying, come and die. And so there were times where Jesus would draw a long line in the sand and says, if you're my disciple, follow me. Yeah. And he would cast these hard sermons. And why would people follow him? Because he loved people like no one else had. He loved those that were the most unlovable in society. Even though he preached hard sermons, listen, he still loved people greatly. Yeah. From the nameless to the famous came to see him. From the righteous to the unrighteous. from the sinner to the saint. Listen, from the Warriors fan to the Lakers fan. They all came to see Jesus. Even though the Lakers fans are hard to follow, listen, come on. We're in Silicon Valley. I'm going to preach hate on the Lakers as long as I'm pastoring here. I mean it in good fun, but all of those people came to see Jesus. Why? Let me just say, if you're new to church, you're welcome here. There's nothing that you have to do to be loved by us. There's nothing you have to like behave and perform for us to love you and accept you. Jesus welcomed you, so we're going to welcome you. And then there was the religious people that came. If I could just be honest, these are the hardest people for me to love. It's easy for me to love the people that are running from God, the people that are up in the club, because that's the scene that I came from. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't get saved till the age of 25. And it's the religious people and the sinners that are surrounding Jesus in this house. This house is packed out. Wherever Jesus showed up, people would turn up. But they didn't come to take selfies with Jesus and put him on their Instagram. They came to take notes and criticize him, to write blogs and books about what a heretic he was. And Jesus still loved those people. Listen, what kind of God loves his enemies? That's like, I have trouble loving my friends. And Jesus loves his enemies. I experienced this 2 years ago. Yesterday, we went to the Santa Clara Art and Wine Festival as a church. If you served in the Santa Clara Art and Wine Festival, would you raise your hand? We want to honor you. These guys served their heart out. Thank you so much. We launched our church from the Santa Clara Art Wine Festival. There's 50,000 people, half of them are holding beers and glasses of wine, drunk, walking through this park in Santa Clara, and we just showed up to just love on people. And then the very first year that we went was 2016, and we had 200 people fill out a card, "We want to know more about your church that's starting up in a year." And we said, how do we host all these people? So we ran out a brewery, and we invited everyone to a meet and greet inside of a brewery. And can I tell you, people were hating on us on Facebook and Instagram, questioning what kind of church we were. We're a bunch of heretics. That pastor, he's a joke. And we did nothing. And we said nothing. Because these aren't obstacles. These are opportunities to love. Yeah. Listen, if you're being criticized, if people are gossiping about you, listen, congratulations. You're looking like Jesus. If they're saying nothing bad about you, maybe nothing good is coming through you. And what I love about Jesus is that he loved even those that he knew were going to hate him. And then imagine, we put up this billboard on Stevens Creek saying, "Oh, God in bed isn't going to church. Come to Center Set." Some of you are seeing this billboard for the very first time. Listen, we had so many people come to faith because of this billboard. It's provocative. It's risque. It's out there. But listen, we had 50 people come to our church. We had 20 of those people join this church, and 10 of them received Christ. And I say that in light of every day for a month, I got an email questioning the integrity of my heart, questioning if I was a real pastor, what a joke I was, that I should go back to seminary. One woman was so angry. Listen, she wrote me an email at 9 a.m., and then she was still angry at 3 p.m. She wrote me a second email. These are the religious people I'm talking about. I wanted to write back something else. Like I was in my mind, I'm like, I want to do prison ministry. I want to get my hands on this woman. But I just responded, I'm just being real, I'm being transparent. I have difficulty loving those people. But I responded back with, you know what, you're probably right. We'll consider that for next time. Thank you for your email. And everything inside of me wanted to say like, and your mom, like, and send the email. But I didn't. Because I'm following Jesus. And what's so beautiful about this story are the men that carry this paralyzed man to Jesus. And there are two character qualities that these guys have that I want us to look at. Some men, say some men. Some men. Carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, try to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. We don't even know their name. We don't know where they went to school. But I see two character qualities that I want us to have, not only for my own faith, but our faith as a community. The first, if you're taking notes, is they're committed. Say committed. Committed. These men were committed. Listen, you have to be intentional if you want to reach your friends for Jesus. Yeah. You have to be intentional if you want to reach your family and your coworkers. It's not going to just happen. You have to pursue it. Yeah. And what I love about this story is that this guy's paralyzed. Paralyzed people were considered sinners. They weren't even allowed to live in the city. That means these men had to leave the city and go find this guy. My question for you this morning, are you even looking? Are you even looking for people in your life that you can go pursue? And what's so interesting about this story is that if you were born paralyzed, the likelihood that you would have friends is zero. Because everyone would say you're a sinner. Everyone would say, all your parents would say, don't hang out with that guy at school. He's a sinner. Stay away from him. That means this guy had four friends following him, four friends carrying him. Maybe he wasn't paralyzed at one point.
Come on.
Maybe at one point he was normal and something happened and then society and the religious people labeled him.
Yeah.
And their friends said, I know of a healer. I know of a miracle. I know God in the flesh. Maybe if we take our friends to him, maybe he, if we carry him, maybe Jesus can do something. My question for you this morning is, are you carrying anyone to Jesus today? Who are the people that God has placed in your life that they will never come to church unless you bring them here? And God placed them there on purpose because he wants you to know how committed you are. And what's so beautiful about the story is it wasn't the fact that they just carried him. They didn't like call Uber. There was no Lyft. They didn't even have wagons. They had to carry this guy on a mat. Listen, I have a 2-year-old daughter who's like 35 pounds. And a minute into the carrying her, I want to, like, this is my cross. Like, Jesus, take me. Like, every Friday, we're at, like, Safeway. We do a daddy-daughter date at Starbucks. She gets cake pop. Don't tell her mom. And I get coffee. And then we go grocery shopping. And I have a list of things I want to buy, and she has a list of things she wants to buy. She wants ice cream, she wants sugar cereal, and she wants gum. And usually we eat all three of those things in the parking lot before we go home, because mom can't know. But when we're in the grocery store, listen, I'll put her in the stroller, or not in the stroller, in the shopping cart, in a minute, and she's like, Daddy, I want to walk. And I know what this means. I know, she wants to walk for like 30 seconds, and then she's getting tired. So I put her down, and goes, Dad, I'm tired, I can't walk. I'm like, you can walk, you have two legs, you don't want to walk. She's like, Daddy, pick me up, and I'm picking her up, and literally my arms are like shaking. And I'm like sweating, and like there's a sweat in places I can't even say in church. Like, she's heavy. Listen, these guys had to carry this guy to Jesus. Imagine how tired they are in the desert heat. Like, I'm in an air-conditioned building and I'm complaining. Those are first world problems. Imagine how hot. Imagine the roads weren't even paved. Imagine the terrain they had to go through. These men are committed to their friend. And then when they get to the house, listen, the crowd says, you gotta go home. And they're like, what? No. We're not taking no for an answer. And sometimes in America, we have what I call treadmill Christianity. We want the easy path. How many of you love the treadmill here? I'm not going to judge you. I would much rather like do something else, but I understand. Like, there was a couple weeks ago, or I'll say a couple years ago, I trained for a Tough Mudder. How many of you know what Tough Mudder is? Basically like a 12, 13 mile obstacle course that you do with your friends. And I hadn't run in like 5 years. I'm like, man, I got to get in shape. And it was middle of winter. I'm not running outside. I'm not getting wet. I'm a cat. No way. So for 10 weeks, 3 days a week, I would train on a treadmill. Imagine I'm coming in with Nike Roshis, with ankle socks, with dry fit, with a bottle of water, headphones. I got ESPN playing in the background. Like, this is cush, right? This isn't working out. This is like vacation. And for 10 weeks, I'm training. And then one of my buddies is like, let's go train. I'm like, dude, the treadmill next to me is always open. He's like, we're going to run outside. I'm like, outside? Outside? Who runs outside in the middle of winter? Like, the rain can fall on you. Cars can honk at you. Dogs can bark at you. The elements are outside. But listen, how many of you know that it's easy? There's a big difference between running on a treadmill and running outside. And I don't believe Jesus died on a cross, suffering a painful death, so that we can walk and talk Christianity. He wants us to do it for real. Some of us need to get off the treadmill and really go pursue people who are committed to bring people who are far from him back. And it's never going to happen unless you intentionally go after it. Who has God placed in your life that only you can invite? Did he save you? Did he break the addiction? Did he really heal you from that pain that your parents gave you? If he did, there are others. Listen, these friends, they remember that dude in high school.
Yeah.
Who has God placed in your life? Who's the person that will never come unless you bring them? And I love this picture because it's a picture of a healthy church. A healthy church carries people to Jesus.
Yeah.
A healthy church doesn't just play church. We don't talk about things we want. We do them.
Yeah.
We go to a Santa Clara Art and Wine Festival when it's our day off because there's a valley that doesn't know him. I love this picture because they weren't just committed. Number two, you want to write this down? They were creative. Say creative. They were creative. What you need to know is that when these guys show up to this house, imagine, like, there's this room and every seat in this house is filled. Like, there's a crowd outside on the lawn. Like, it's Jerusalem, they don't have grass, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's everyone outside. And imagine these guys are like walking 4 or 5 miles, they bring their friend, and the guy's like, the ushers are like, no, there's no more seats, you gotta come to the next service, right? And they're like, we're not taking no for an answer. And these guys go on the roof, and in our mind, we think like there's a four-wall house and with a nice roof. This is a flat roof. Most homes in Jerusalem were built into the side of a mountain. That means you have 3, maybe 2 walls. And on the roof, they just had wooden pillars. And in between the wooden pillars, they would put mud and hay and, listen, manure. There's a spiritual principle there. Sometimes if you want to get your friends to Jesus, you got to go through some. What word did you fill that in with? We're in church, guys. I didn't say it. What word did you use? That's a spiritual picture of sometimes we got to do some hard work to bring our friends to Jesus. And imagine you're in this house and you're taking notes and all of a sudden you hear, and you look up and there's a hole in the roof. And most theologians think this is Peter's house. Peter's the cussing pastor, if you don't know who he is. I relate to him. I do it in my heart, not out loud, so don't judge me. Peter's the guy that cussed when asked, do you follow Jesus? And he cussed a little girl out. Peter's the guy that got so angry that he tried to cut someone's head off, but he missed and cut their ear off. Yeah. Imagine his anger when he doesn't have roof insurance and someone's building a hole through his roof. Right? That's what you got to do sometimes to reach people who are far from God. You got to get committed and you got to get creative. To reach people no one is reaching, listen, you got to do things that no one is doing. To reach people that no one is reaching, you have to do things that no one else is doing. People criticize us. Why are you going to the Santa Clara Art and Wine Festival? Why are you giving away thousands of dollars in gifts? We're trying to build a hole in the roof. Why would you do a meet and greet at a brewery? Alcohol and church shouldn't mix. We had 20 people join our church because of that. 4 of them received Christ. We're trying to dig a hole in the roof. Why would you put that billboard up? Why would you spend all that money to look so foolish? Listen, we're trying to reach people no one else is reaching. So we got to do things that no one else is doing. We're trying to build a hole in the roof. Why would you go to Santana Row and pay that much money for rent? Because we're trying to dig a hole in the roof. If Jesus, listen, was willing to suffer for us, we have first world problems. We're willing to look foolish for him. Because people at this church are our priority. And we're willing to do anything short of sin, listen, to reach people who are far from God. And there's always going to be the haters. Jesus had them. We're going to have them. But I ask you this question. There are some of you in this room, you've already given yourself 10 excuses, 10 reasons why this doesn't belong. This isn't your responsibility. This is what the church is supposed to do, but not what you're supposed to do. You don't want to be creative. My wife, who's not only a pastor in this church, not only is she a church planner, but she's a wedding photographer. She's uber-duper creative. And her and I always get in these debates, is everyone creative or are there only a certain set of people? And she always tells me something so convicting. Your lack of creativity, Allie, is just a lack of effort. Your lack of creativity is just like most of you have spent more time making excuses why you can't do this than you could actually getting to do this. See, some of you don't need to even pray about this. I know I'm going to sound like a heretic, but there are some things you don't need to pray about. Go tweet that. Some of you, when you read your Bible, you don't need to pray about giving. It's throughout the entire Bible, God wants us to be a giver. You don't need to pray about if you love your friends or your enemies. You love all of them. If you don't love people, you've missed the point. Listen, you don't need to pray about if you're supposed to reach people who are far from God. If you do, you've missed it. This church was not built on my wife and myself. This church was built on the sacrifice of some men and some women. My call to you is, why not join these band of people who show up at 7 a.m. to create a church for unchurched people so that someone who comes into this room for the very first time, they don't just study God, they can experience him. And why would we put the billboard up? Why would we send out mailers? Why would we do Instagram ads? Why would we go to a Santa Clara Art and Wine Festival? Because people are spiritually paralyzed. Some of you here this morning and you have secret sin and you wonder if we're going to judge you. No one cares. Some of you have secret addictions that you don't even want to mention to church people. Listen, your problems are not physical, they're spiritual. You need Jesus and he's going to heal you. And if you come to him, your life will change. And I want to show you this last verse that so convicted me this week. That just like changed my paradigm. Next verse. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, say their faith.
Their faith.
He said, friend, your sins are forgiven. So let me give you kind of what's going on in this picture. There's a big hole in the roof. Peter's getting his gun. He's about to kill these dudes. And they're lowering this guy, but he can't reach all the way, so they just drop him. He's already paralyzed. It's not going to hurt. So this guy's on the ground, and Jesus is looking up to these dudes. And he says, because of your faith. He's not even looking down. He's looking up.
That's right.
Listen, your faith matters. Your faith matters for your friends. Your faith matters for your family. Yeah. Some of you, you're only in this room because you had a mom who didn't leave her knees. Some of you are in this room. You're not in prison because your grandmother kept praying for you. Your faith matters. Our faith as a community matters for the people in this city. What I so love, thank you guys, what I so love is that as Jesus is on this roof, as these men are on the roof, and Jesus is talking to this man on the ground, he says, your sins are forgiven. Like if I'm the dude on the ground, I'm sweating, even though I'm not working, I'm in the sun, I'm like, McFly, I'm handicapped. I'm paralyzed. Nobody cares about sin being forgiven. Heal me. See, that's where we think most of our problems exist. We think we have financial problems, relationship problems, money problems, and this is why the number one book that's sold in Amazon is a self-help book, because we think all of our problems are physical in nature. And Jesus is showing us a very powerful principle that our biggest problems are spiritual in nature, which is why he didn't heal the man first. He said, your sins are forgiven. Some of you here, you come secretly wanting to break that porn addiction, wanting to break your alcohol addiction, your weed addiction. Let's be real. Some of you guys take cocaine. This is the number one valley for drugs in America because of the wealth that's in this valley. You don't have a drug problem. You have a spiritual problem. And Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. And that's your greatest problem, is spiritual in nature. And he says, your sins are forgiven. And then at that moment, all the religious people who had memorized the Bible begin to complain. Who are you to say that? Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus is like, exactly. That's exactly who I am. What's harder, to forgive sin or to get up and walk? And in front of the whole crowd, he says, bro, get up. Tiptoe on your Jordans. Get out. Go home. And the man walks out of the room. And in one moment, Jesus declares, only God can forgive sins. I'm God. And your problem is not your sin. It's that it needs to be forgiven. And I just believe that there are people in this room that are coming to church for the very first time. And there are people in this room that call themselves Christian. Listen, your friends don't have sin problems. They have spiritual problems. And they need you to carry them to Jesus. And what's so beautiful about the story is this man is on the ground and he's forgiven. And he looks nothing like a Christian. And all the Pharisees, their mind is being blown. Because in that culture, you're paralyzed because of sin. You can't walk because of sin. You have leprosy because of sin. And Jesus just said, this guy's forgiven. Why isn't he getting up? I thought he's sinful. If you forgave him, why is he still on the ground? Listen, sometimes when people accept Christ, it takes time for them to look like Christian. This is a perfect picture of what a baby Christian looks like. Many times they're still on their back. See, in this church, we belong, then we believe, and then we behave. Religious people, though, they want you to behave before you believe. They want you to change before you put your faith in him. And they're always focused on the external. That's what all these people are complaining about. They don't see the miracle that happened in this man's heart, that heaven added one more person. And they're focused on him getting up. And I want to tell you that there are people in this room that have accepted Christ. No one has any expectation on you. This is why Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God makes it grow. Yeah. It's okay to not be okay here. Yeah. It's okay to, the only thing is that when you spend time with Jesus, you're just not going to stay that way. And what's so beautiful about this story is that Jesus was declaring himself to these people that he was God. If I could take you back to fifth grade science fair. My best friend won the science fair that year. He had built like a 3-foot like volcano mountain. Like this thing should have been in a museum. It was so awesome. And I'm like, bro, how did you do this? And he said, my dad built it. And what you need to realize is this burden of people in your life is a project that's too big for you. There are some things in your life you need your father's help. There are people, some people in your life, if you're just committed to them, and if you just get creative, and you just carry them to Jesus, Jesus will do the miracle. And if you guys can close your eyes and bow your heads, I just want to pray that this value, which launched this church, which is why we exist at Saints Center, which is why we do everything that we do in this church, is because people, listen, are our priority. People aren't projects. People don't have expiration dates. We love people at Santana Row. We love the people of Silicon Valley. We love the people of the Bay Area, whether they're for us or against us. People are our priority. God, I want to pray for these people, God, that want to follow you with every ounce of their heart, that they don't just want to be treadmill Christians, God, that they want to run hard after you, Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you would begin to put on their heart people that are far from them, that people that you've placed in their life, maybe high school friends, maybe coworkers, that you've placed them in their life for a reason. God, would you speak to them saying, I want to use you to reach that person. Would you remind them, God, of the way that you saved them, the way that you've transformed their life. And when, God, they don't have the strength, when the project feels too big, remind them, God, that this is your project. You're the one doing all the real heavy lifting of forgiving sinners. If there are some of you this morning with every eye closed and every head bowed, Jesus did the real miracle in the story. The only way that he can forgive sin is he came to die for it. And 3 years after this event, Jesus went to the cross, became sin on a cross, died for it, died in our place so that we could live. He died so that we can live. He was punished so that we could be rewarded. What is Christianity? It's God dying for the sins of his people. It's not about your good works. It's not about your behavior. It's about his behavior. You come to him by faith. And this man rose even though he was sinful, even though he was paralyzed. He believed. And I want to tell you this morning, that's all you need to do is just believe that Jesus died on a cross for the sins of the world, for your sin, that if you just believe in him, you will have eternal life. And I just so feel led to ask, if this is your first time at church, if you want to start a relationship with Jesus, if he's speaking to you this morning saying, follow me, I would love to pray that prayer with you. With no one looking, with every eye closed and every head bowed, you're not saying yes to me. You're not saying yes to this church. You're saying yes to Jesus, the God who became a man. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? No one is looking. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Yes, you in the middle over there. Put your hands down. I would love to pray this prayer with me. Thank you, Jesus, that you left heaven as God and became a man. Thank you, Jesus, that you lived a sinless, perfect life. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for my sin on a cross, and on the third day you came back to life. God, I give you my life. I place my faith, my hope, my trust, my eternity in your hands. God, you saved me. Now would you use me to save my friends? In Jesus' name, amen. Can we clap for the hands that went up this morning? If you guys can get up, Ethan's gonna lead us in a time of worship. And this is a time where we continue our time of worship through our tithes and offerings. If this is your home and you call Center Set home, this is where you give. If you're a guest, there's no obligation to give. Our service is our gift to you. Let me just quickly pray for the offering. Thank you, Jesus, for every blessing that comes from above. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to partner with you to reach people who are far from God. God, I pray that you would use these tithes and offerings, Lord, to expand your name, to reach more people in this valley. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope this message impacted you and inspires you to draw closer to Jesus. Subscribe to this podcast and give us a follow on Instagram at Center Set Church to keep up with all that God is doing in our community. Also, we'd love to be in prayer with you. If you have any prayer requests, please send them to info@centerset.church.